One of the most refreshing deals of the year happened somewhere in the middle of the darkness of lockdown when Transaction Capital, taxi financiers, debt collectors brought a big stake, 49.9% stake in secondhand car dealers We Buy Cars. David Hurwitz is the chief executive of Transaction Capital. How is that deal bedding down, David?
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me on the show. Bruce, it's very, very early days. We only closed the deal out on the 11th of September, so it really is very early. But so far, so good. We're very excited about the investment. I know you describe it as a used car dealership, which it is, but it's really driven by data and technology and artificial intelligence, and it does over a third of its sales through e-commerce. So, you know, very, very unique in that regard. And we love the business just in terms of being able to add in additional gross margin through, you know, finance and insurance and the like. So, you know, very, very exciting for us, and so much so that we have guided the market to say that our earnings growth should, you know, recover back to levels that we saw pre-COVID of high teen and even maybe low 20% growth in headline earnings because of this.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's the deal that could really reshape Transaction Capital, which has been a strong growth story in South Africa for many years. But the two other industries in which you're involved, and that is in taxis, and the taxi industry has not quite had the wheels come off, but certainly has seen a bit of rattle and roll. And debt collection. Talk to me about taxi industry, please, because you have seen quite a big increase in provisions for bad debts and impairments coming through in the SA taxi business. Understandably, considering there was a whole chunk of time earlier this year where taxis weren't allowed to move anywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, we think that the industry is more resilient than most. You know, this is an industry in a country where about 40% of South Africans rely on public transport, and the bulk of all public transport activity happens in the minibus taxi industry. We see 15 million commuters moving a day in the minibus taxi industry, and only about a million moving in bus and train together. So it's by far the most dominant form of public transport. It operated during lockdown, which shows that it's indispensable to South Africa's productivity. And according to our stats, about 64% of minibus taxis operated during the hard lockdown. That then recovered to about 100% by the time we got to level three. So you can see it's more resilient than other industries. And as our economy opens up, we see commuter mobility really proceeding or being a precursor to any economic activity, and spend on commuter mobility being non-discretionary. So this industry will recover quicker than most.
And you know that. You have those facts because you have tracking devices in every taxi that you finance, and you finance 15% of the taxis on the country's roads. Your data, therefore, of two-thirds of taxis operated in hard lockdown is driven by your data and your data collection.
Yes, it's actually absolutely empirical, this data. It's not just a survey or gut feel. You know, that's what we're seeing from our tracking devices. So you know, it is really a robust industry. That being said, we had to provide payment holidays to our customers during the hard lockdown, and we've seen our payments or collections drop to about 20% during April, but then recovered month after month to where we are right now, which is at about 90%. So, you know, 9 out of 10 of our operators are paying. What we did is we built a big provision to take care of this in this year's results, and that cost us about 500 million rand worth of earnings. And that's really why earnings went down. But operationally, our business grew by about 10%.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you may write back some of those provisions next year, depending on what happens to the economy. Wayne McCurry suggesting that the third quarter growth number could be somewhere in the region of 60%, which is considerably better than anybody had anticipated it might be. And therefore, actually, the economic activity levels may be even higher.
Yeah, so what we've done is we've said this provision should be sufficient such that next year we can achieve the growth levels that we're talking about. We want taxi to grow its earnings base by about 11%, and that's not off the 2020 numbers. You know, 2020 we treating as a black swan event or an outlier. We want earnings to grow in low double-figure percentages for 2021 when compared against 2019. And with this type of provision built in, and the type of operation levels we're seeing right now, we think that's achievable.
Talk to me then about debt collections, because it must have been an absolute nightmare considering that the health protocols required in having people working in fairly close confines within a call center environment, and they spend their days making phone calls to people and encouraging them to pay their debts from the bad debt books that you've bought from other companies. That must have been an incredibly difficult transition.
Yeah, Bruce, I'll give you, you know, the typical answer. It was good and it was bad. There was a lot of difficulties that we saw. We had to transition our entire call center to work from home. We did that really well. And where we sit right now is the entire call center can work from home. Our operators are working from home about two-thirds to three-quarters of the month, and then they rotate through the call center for about a week a month, which is really good for call center agents to build culture, to germinate ideas, etc. But then they can go home and work from home. Working from home has been far more flexible and more productive than we originally thought. People are working longer hours, and we're really able to do, you know, more with less infrastructure. And because of that, we were actually able to grow our revenues this year. But I think the growth might be kind of lower yields out of more work. I think what COVID has done to this industry is, you know, it's very relevant in a post-COVID environment. All of our clients, being banks and retailers and telcos, are looking to collect their debts. They're battling with their own transitioning of their call centers, and we are very well positioned to help them. So there is a big flow of work starting to move into our environment, and that's helped a lot as well.
Is this going to be permanent, do you think? I mean, you've had time to think about it. You've had time to try it, to work, to test it, to see how it's all going to play out. Is this going to be permanent?
Yes, we really believe that this work-from-home environment will be permanent for us, as I've explained it. You know, three quarters at home, one quarter in, you know, on-site. And it means going forward that we need far less infrastructure, but also that we need a higher-skilled call center agent who has the capability to work from home. There's also an idea to, you know, to bring in people that could work part-time. So you might have, you know, family heads that are maybe in the morning taking their kids to school. They've then got a few hours where they can log onto our system, almost like an Uber type system. Log onto our system, work from maybe 9 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, and then go back and be with their kids later on in the RV. So it's great flexibility, and I think the opportunity to really increase employment in the country and attract a completely different type of call center agent.
David Hurwitz, South African, the Chief Executive of truly South African company, let's get my words in the right order, Chief Executive of Transaction Capital.